Welcome to the Mile High Huddle Podcast with your football priests, Chad Jensen and Zach Kelberman. Remember, Broncos country is not a geographic location. It's a state of being.
Welcome in, everybody. It is the Mile High Huddle Podcast. I'm your host, Chad Jensen, and with me is my fellow football priest. You know him, you love him, Zach Kelberman. Zach, here we are Thursday. It's kind of a weird game week because you get beat down by the Ravens, then all of a sudden there's the news cycle of the trade deadline. Now we're on to the Chiefs, but how you doing, bro, on a Thursday night with the Ravens-Bengals about to go down?
Doing well. I mean, there was also the election this week, so a lot of people, if their candidate didn't win, they're a little more dejected. But I'm excited to get back in the football swing of things, Chad, and talk about what I think, if the Broncos are going to be a playoff team, what's a must-win game on Sunday.
I'm just seeing here real fast. Sorry, guys. I gotta try and see. We're getting some weird connectivity issues on Facebook. So hang tight one sec. I'm going to try this one more time. I'm going to try reconnecting him real fast here. At least the main one. Let's see if one works. That's weird too, because we got green check marks and then all of a sudden it said connectivity problem. Okay, there's a green check mark. Now let's try one more. Sorry guys, hang with me. Almost there. All right. So here we are. It's Chiefs week and it's looking good. Let's see what Papa Bear has to say. Good to see you tonight. David McElrath in the house. What's good, big dog? He says, good evening, Broncos country, Chad, Zach, and Deacon Scott. Hashtag God bless the USA. Hashtag 10-7. Hashtag MHH for life. Buck 'em. Denver Broncos for life. Knicks for six. Let's go, Bo. Yeah, I even failed to mention amidst what a weird week it is, because then you also have the election on Tuesday. Yeah, that's weird. I wonder what's going on. Have you seen these problems on Facebook? I haven't seen it either. We'll have to check it out. But yeah, kind of a unique week, Zach.
For sure. And David's always saying 10-7. And as I said a minute ago, if the Broncos want to get to that, if they want to be a playoff team, they have to prove that they can beat playoff teams. They didn't last week against Baltimore. This is another tough test coming up that I hope they could ace.
I think it's just a Facebook problem because I just checked the back end to see if there was any notifications like, hey, you need to update your connection. It's not that. So I think Facebook's just having problems today, which is a bummer, but We'll try connecting again here in a minute. Papa Bear, we love you. Some hellos in the chat tonight. C. Chang, what's going on? David Yunkin. Yeah, I wasn't sure really, Zach, what to title the stream around besides that, you know, we're going to be going through some head-to-head comps here, Broncos Chiefs for the first time of 2024. But one of the things is, you know, is Bo Nix ready for this? This is marquee matchup territory. You know, this is you could argue the matchups he was drafted to win, right? You got to beat the Chiefs in the AFC West if you're going to have a chance. So how are you feeling about Bo Nix and his first taste? And of course it's going to be on the road, utter hostile territory at Arrowhead. It's going to be a grind.
Yeah. I don't think it's any more difficult from a schematic standpoint as facing the Seahawks on the road or facing the Steelers in week two, the Buccaneers, the Jets. He's run the gauntlet of facing the NFL's best defenses. And as good as Steve Spagnuolo's unit is in Kansas City, they've kind of taken a step back a little bit the last couple weeks. They're not the 2000 Ravens. They are susceptible. But my bigger question is, I'm more concerned with the Broncos' defense. Are they ready for this game? Because they proved last week against Lamar Jackson they were not ready. In order to give Bo Nix a chance, Chad, they have to slow down Mahomes and company.
That they do. And it's going to be interesting because this offense, the Chiefs offense, just has kind of failed to launch. I mean, it's still a lot of good metrics. You'll see it when we go through the head-to-head, but just not at the scale, Zach, that we're accustomed to seeing from an Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes offense. And there's a part of me that's going, man, please, coming on the heels of that Ravens loss, please, please, please let this not be the game the Chiefs suddenly figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, It's if you've noticed since the Tyreek Hill trade, it's been a downturn in Kansas City. Their offense isn't as explosive as it was 3, 4, 5 years ago, and they're winning predominantly with their rushing attack and their defense. But it's not more so, I'm talking about points allowed, but Mahomes always finds a way to keep the drives alive, Chad, and punch the ball in the end zone like last week in overtime when he had to do it even with a bum ankle. The Broncos defense has to clamp down, force three and outs, get the ball back to Bowe and company, and put some points on the board.
Yeah, I might have to disconnect, not on this stream. This is the last time I'm going to fiddle with it, but I might have to disconnect Scott. It's still not coming through. I might have to disconnect it on StreamYard outside of this when we're done with this episode and reconnect it for later streams. Yeah, I got to remove it one last time. Okay. All right, back to the chat. Let me see what's on everybody else's mind. Like C. Chang saying, hey, our D needs to beat Patrick. Yes. Hope our receivers help Bo out. How much longer till Josh Reynolds is going to be able to come back? When did he go down? I'm trying to remember.
He's slowly ramping up in his return to practice. I don't think he's that far away from coming back, but is Josh Reynolds the answer, Chad? Because when he was healthy, I mean, he had some drop issues too. He's a decent receiver, but I don't think he's necessarily the elite talent that Bo Nix desperately needs that the Broncos did not get him by the trade deadline.
So his last appearance was the Raiders game where he had one catch for 9 yards and a touchdown. So remember, and he kind of came down weird in the back of the end zone with that catch. And I'm pretty sure that's where he got hurt as well. So it's been a minute. So was that week six?
I think it was five.
Five? Well, yeah, one, two, you're right, five. So six, seven, eight, nine. Yeah, so he's eligible to come back from IR, but is he ready health-wise? That's what Zach was getting at earlier, is he's working back. But they are getting a couple other guys. I mean, we've written about this. I know the guys talked a little bit about this on Mile High Insider, Zach, but you got Drew Sanders. They're trying to get him back in the saddle, limited participant in Wednesday and Thursday's practice from the PUP list. Plus, Luke Wantenberg went from limited to full practice today on Thursday. So it's looking like if it shakes out the way it has previous this season with regard to the Broncos bringing back injured reserve guys, it's looking like they're going to bring him back in time for the Chiefs game. But who's going to start at center? Because I've liked how Alex Forsythe held down the fort.
Yeah, I mean, I wrote about that earlier. Forsythe has graded out really impressively, according to Pro Football Focus. I wouldn't fix what's not broken. You have the chemistry with Forsythe and Bo Nix from their days at Oregon together. Forsythe stepped right in. The offensive line did not miss a beat. I would continue starting Alex if it was up to me. With Drew Sanders, Chad, I kind of view him like a Greg Dulcich. Whatever you can get out of Drew Sanders would be a bonus. We don't know where he's going to play. I think now he's an outside linebacker, but they have enough outside linebackers. That's why you traded Baron Browning away. I'd rather play him inside, but how is he going to come back from that Achilles? So once again, anything you get, if anything, is going to be a bonus from Drew Sanders this season.
Totally true. And in the meantime, I'm actually thinking, Zach, that the Baron Browning trade, even if you didn't have Drew Sanders waiting in the wings to hopefully come back soon, I still feel like the Broncos might actually see a better net production in the pass rush because right before Baron Browning came back, they started utilizing Dondre Tillman in the pass rush. And I mean, I think back to, wasn't it the Bucks game where he had two sacks and man, get him. He's had to take a back seat, unfortunately, since Browning came back. But start using this dude again, cause there seems to be a little there.
Yeah. And plus Jonah Ellis is developing nicely. Nick Benito's coming on this season. He leads the Broncos in sacks. Jonathan Cooper got a fat extension. You're good at edge rusher. And they have a couple guys like Tillman, who's reliable because he's healthy. It's the one thing about Baron Browning, the one thing about Drew Sanders that you can't rely on is their health. You're muted.
I'm trying one last thing on the back end. I know I said that before, but I'm trying to redo the connection on a separate StreamYard tab, Scott, to see, because I think I have to be the one to do that. So let's see. You can try it one more time if you want, Scott, and see if that made a difference. But okay, yes, and this is another piece of good news for the Broncos from Mr. Greasy, PJ Locke. So let's go through the injury report real quick, or I should say it's the practice report. We'll get the official week 10 injury report tomorrow, But Zach, really good news in that PJ Locke, who's missed the last couple of games with a thumb, he was a full participant in both days of practice this week. So he's going to be back, fortunately, against the Chiefs. And I think that came would he have been all the difference in the world against Lamar? Probably not. The Ravens probably still come out on top in that game, but there were several big explosives that the Ravens had against the Broncos that were a direct result of Devin Key, unfortunately, which is disappointing because his first game in for Locke, Key actually looked pretty good, like he belonged. The second game, man, he seemed lost. But if you go back to what Riley Moss said post-game at his locker, talking about how, you know, hey, our eyes were getting a little bit crazy because, you know, we were running predominantly zone. All of a sudden, it makes a lot of sense. You take guys out of what they've been doing all year long from a scheme perspective and a job perspective, responsibility, and you start changing things with the coverages. And it's no wonder that Devin Key so often in that game, Zach, looked out of position.
Yeah, that's what's so maddening about VJ when he goes away from the man coverage and plays more zone. And I get why he did it against Lamar to, you know, spy and counteract the run, but you totally forgot about what Lamar can do as a passer. Fortunately, I don't think the Kansas City offense is as explosive as the Baltimore offense. So getting Locke back is a net positive for Denver. You have to worry about Worthy, the speed demon. They have DeAndre Hopkins, who's a little washed, and Travis Kelce, and whoever's starting at running back this week. It's not as imposing of a lineup as you face, but you still technically have to be on your P's and Q's. Otherwise, Chad, same result as week 9.
By the way, it's looking like it's going to be Kareem Hunt once again. He was limited in Wednesday's practice, but he was upgraded to a full participant on Thursday. Really, as far as Chiefs key role players, Kareem Hunt was the one name I was really keeping an eye on, as well as edge rusher and the leader in sacks for the Chiefs, George Karlaftis. He was limited also, but full. So he's trending towards playing. But Mecole Hardman, Zach, he's still limited. Juju Smith-Schuster doesn't look like he's going to be coming back this week. And then Mahomes, keep an eye on him. He is dealing with an ankle. At least he's on the injury report. He's been full both days, but something to monitor his mobility if he really is dealing with that ankle.
I have to smirk because I still remember the game when Mahomes got injured against the Broncos, and in comes Matt Moore to beat Denver. So even I don't really care what happens with Mahomes. He plays, he doesn't play. The Broncos are still going to have to give their all. And injuries aside, that receiving core, the talent around Mahomes, they just find a way still, Chad, and the Broncos have to guard against it.
But at least, you know, another time, another place. That was the Vic Fangio regime and a different cast of characters. But yeah, that was brutal. Just when you thought, yeah, hey, here's your chance. You know, what was it? They were maybe 13 games into their winning streak over the Broncos or something like that, 12 games maybe, and he goes down. You're like, oh, this could be it. Speaking of chances, we got Chris Chances jumping in. What's up, big dog? From the top rope, brother, on a night like tonight where we're having some technical difficulties and we're unable to get all of our community in on the chat, this is very, very helpful to us. So thank you, big dog. He says, hi, Zach and Chad. Sorry for missing a couple weeks. Healing up from surgery. I wanted both of your thoughts on what Broncos players having a breakout year so far and what should the Broncos do to get a win this Sunday? Hashtag best in the business. Hashtag Bo Vader. Well, first of all, bro, thoughts and prayers to you. We have missed you. Didn't know it was from a surgery though. So hope you're, I'll take your activity and presence in tonight's chat as a sign that you are doing well and bouncing back from that, but hope you're doing well. My answer to who's having a breakout, I mean, on offense, Zach, I think the only player you could really assert is Bo Nix. Coming off of NFL Rookie of the Month of October. Defensively, I mean, for a minute there, the first quarter of the season, if I got this question from you, Chris, I would have said Riley Moss. And I still think that's how it's going to shake out in the final analysis, Zach. But who am I missing?
Zach Allen.
Zach Allen, which, you know what, that brings up something. You know, Nick Kendall sent in an article today. It's published. It's up, guys. Go give it a read on the five Broncos. Count them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Who made Pro Football Focus's midseason all AFC West team. Notably, conspicuously, heinously absent, Zach, and snubbed from this list, Zach Allen.
Shocker. Absolute shocker. I can throw a couple out. I don't really think any Broncos player is having a true breakout season. I do think Palcho at right tackle, considering being an undrafted free agent, and he looked like a future 10-year starter at right tackle. Another one was to a micro-level Sternad. Went from a guy who was on the roster bubble, a backup special teamer, came into the starting lineup and immediately forced a fumble and causing havoc. So mini breakouts, that's where I would go.
Phil, if you are just joining us and any of our normal members of the community who are participating on Facebook, there's some kind of a connectivity issue going on despite all of our back-end tweaks. There's some kind of connectivity issue between StreamYard, the platform that allows us to stream to multiple destinations, and Facebook. So sorry about that, buddy. Outside of our control, unfortunately. Don't know what's going on there. But hopefully we'll get it fixed in the next day or so. I don't think it's getting fixed tonight. So glad to have you in the chat with us on YouTube, Tucson Phil. Let's see here. Rodney Garcia, though, and Chris, love you, bro. Thank you. You strong man, bouncing back from your surgery. He says, hey, Justin Simmons was the only player to pick off Mahomes every game we played against. Who's going to step up? Well, I don't know if it's true that it was every game, but he did have some success against Mahomes. Do you see someone maybe – I mean, Pat Surtain's actually having a pretty productive year relative to the interception game. Usually the target volume's just not there for him to get lucky a few times, but he's got three, I want to say, this year already, and – that's not nothing halfway through. That's pretty good for a number one shutdown guy where the ball doesn't often go his way. But who's going to be that guy, Zach, with the propensity, the probability? I'm going to say Brandon Jones, not just because it's the easy, you know, replacement for Simmons, but, you know, he had his hands on a few different takeaways early the first quarter of the season, but it's been a few games. I have a feeling he's about ready to get back in on the action.
Yeah, you were talking about breakout players a second ago when you mentioned PS2 before he got the concussion. And ever since then, he came back. There's some cobwebs, I think, to his game. And I like to see him go back to that DPOY status. And we're going to have to lean on him this game. You have to lean on your franchise players. And Patrick Surtain is by far your best player. But aside from him, a key to the secondary is McMillan. I mean, arguably the best nickel corner in the game. They might move Hopkins to the slot. That'd be matched one-on-one. He's going to be an integral part of shutting down Mahomes in that passing game.
So Scott, who covers the Falcons every single day at our sister site on SI, Falcons Sports Illustrated site, he's been seeing Simmons covering it, breaking it down day in, day out. He says Simmons only has one pick this year, and it's against, Zach, Pat Mahomes, ironically.
Yeah, but like you were talking about with Brandon Jones, the Broncos haven't missed Simmons, I don't think. I don't think many Broncos fans this season have said, you know, I really wish 31 was back. We can't survive without him. Brandon Jones has been a great replacement, but in games of higher magnitude, Ravens, Chiefs, those players have to step up.
I agree with you, but there is a part of me that wonders, hey, man, with how good Brandon Jones has looked, he was, by the way, one of the five Broncos that made the midseason All-AFC West team, according to PFF, but a part of me goes, man, if the Broncos could be that good, if Brandon Jones could be that good already, what would it look like with him and Simmons instead of Locke and Jones? It's Jones and Simmons, but we'll never know. That ship has sailed, Zach.
There were a lot of more of those Sam Darnold moments with Simmons than we like to remember, Chad. I think we romanticized Simmons a little bit, and he was in on a lot of plays where he messed up, for lack of a better word.
I'm trying to find – there it is. I've got the sheet queued up for when we want to do the head-to-head. We're at about 19 minutes. We're doing okay. So, Zach, I'm seeing some questions and comments about getting A.T. Perry, a practice squad receiver, and, of course – Parham, a practice squad tight end involved. David Youngkin's bringing it up. What do you see? What's your answer to the fans who are saying, hey, look, if we're kind of struggling with the skill position players we have, why not turn, you know, that are on the 53, why not see what one of these or both of these guys could do in the offense? Your thoughts?
Two words on that, in my opinion, Sean Payton. Sean Payton's stubbornness, Sean Payton's ego, Sean Payton's insistence on cronyism and having his own guys out there. The reason that you haven't seen A.T. Perry is because Sean Payton loves Lil Jordan Humphrey. The reason you haven't seen Donald Parham is because Sean Payton loves Adam Trautman. And this is the downside to me with Sean Payton, is that he's too stubborn for his own good. In his play calling, in his personnel decisions, he wants his guys on the field, and he will not waver on that.
Yeah. What didn't Perry? I gotta take a quick look.
I don't think he ever intersected with Payton in New Orleans.
It was right after he left, wasn't it?
I think it was 23.
You're right. It was last year. 6th round pick out of Wake Forest. And they 86'd him on October 4th. He was waived and then signed. But even though, Zach, you can't say he's a Sean Payton guy per se yet, anyway. He comes from that Mickey Loomis manger, right? So that's why he landed here. Is I'm sure he saw him hit the wire and he called Mickey. Goes, yo, tell me about this guy. Da da da. Oh, he can do the X Y Z that we know and the da da da. Okay, cool. I don't know. We'll see. The guy who's actually more intriguing to me as a possibility is Parham. But keep in mind, and I'm going to quote Mr. Producer here. Yeah, right now, relative to a skill position deprived. Broncos country, they might be the flavors of the day, right? But, and of course, you know, oh, they got to be better than anyone else that's out there, despite the fact, Zach, that no other of the 31 teams is going out of their way to swoop them off the Broncos practice squad. So I only say that not to, I'm not trying to clown them or throw shade. I'm just saying, let's keep our relative expectations of what kind of impact these guys could make in perspective.
Forget the hypothetical upside of A.T. Perry. How about seeing more of Devon Vele, whose upside is tangible, that we've seen, that was growing, that was the Broncos' leading target getter in week one, and then kind of just got cast aside. Instead of Lil Jordan Humphrey, I mean, I'd settle for more targets for Devon Vele.
Talking about Audric, the fifth-round rookie out of Notre Dame, to get more touches in this game, that's kind of, well, that – idea of that, he says, that has him concerned. Now, is it a guarantee? Not necessarily. Okay, keep in mind, he did get 5 garbage time carries against the Ravens, and he held on to the ball. That's the good news. And because, you know, you got Javonte, Zach, averaging 3 yards in a cloud of dust, and Jahlil, nothing much doing there so far. People are going, hey, 7 yards per carry. Baby, that looks pretty good. Hey, coach, after the game and on Monday, hey, what about getting estimate more touches? That's a hey, good question. The answer to that is yes. So how that shakes out, Zach, and what it looks like, I don't think all of a sudden you're going to see him as your bell cow, but they are working with him behind the scenes with making him carry a football around, like really trying to instill to him the sanctity of possession, right? And that ball meaning everything. And his 5 bites at the apple last week, he didn't let him down. So I think you will see a little bit more activity from him earlier in the game. But to what degree remains to be seen.
I like that it was Javonte Williams trying to teach Estime ball security, the blind leading the blind there. Joe Lombardi actually talked about Estime today getting more touches. And he said he's fine with it. They're not concerned yet. That if he fumbles again, there'd be a bigger issue, but he's deserving of the touches. And I talked about this, I believe, on the gut reaction last week, that you can coach the fumbling issues out of Audric Estime. You can't teach Javonte Williams to be quicker or be more athletic or find the hole. I want more dynamism at running back, Chad, and I don't care who provides it. If it's Estime, so be it.
Indeed. Nick has had a flurry of articles this week, which is always great. So I've spent some time editing and reading a lot of his stuff. And he seems to think, Zach, that Estime, you know, because Javonte's in a contract year, he's not really done much up to this point in his season and a half with Sean Payton to just scream, hey, re-sign, in the same way that the Broncos quickly made short work of getting Jonathan Cooper locked up. And that they'll probably let him go at the end of this season, Zach, and Estime will be the first guy, dependent on what they do in the draft next year and whatnot. So you got to start seeing that. That's why this season, even though the Broncos are ahead of schedule, they're still plus 500. Almost nobody expected the Broncos to be in this position they're in going into week 10. You can't lose track of the co-priority. Might be on a slightly lesser level because the Broncos are ahead of schedule, but they do have to see what they have in this young roster. They do have to get the young guys developed, some opportunities to develop, and this is one of those prime opportunities for Estime in the sense that, hey, you had a couple setbacks. You got you fumbled, then you went on IR, then you came back. You worked back. Then we got you back involved. You fumbled. Then we kind of started doing the, you know, putting you in the doghouse with love in the sense that you're not getting touches. Now you're going to carry a football around with you, the facility, everywhere you go. Now we're giving you little baby steps back into the manger. Here's your opportunity. Oh, and by the way, it's against Patrick Mahomes, the Chiefs, and it's at Arrowhead and, you know, AFC West showdown.
And former Broncos running back Samaje Perine, who now plays in Kansas City. So let's see what you got, Rook. And in my opinion, Chad, speaking of Javonte, there is zero argument to re-sign Pookie Williams. I don't care if it's a one-year deal for veterans minimum. There is not one thing, and now that we know this, and with the benefit of hindsight, there is not one thing that Javonte Williams does that is worthy of a new contract or that you can't find elsewhere. So whether it's Estime, McLaughlin, Blake Watson, Bidet, I don't care, but the future of the running back position is not Javonte Williams.
Speaking of the offensive side of the ball, this was interesting, another article from Kendall. The Athletics, Dane Brugler, someone who we look to and cite quite a lot when it's draft season. He put out, Zach, his midseason all-rookie team. And the first quarterback, Jaden Daniels of the Washington Commanders, which comes as no surprise. He's literally been a sensation so far. But the first runner-up, not the number one overall pick, Caleb Williams, but your boy, Bo Nix. So speaking of hindsight and all that stuff, do you think there are any teams out there regretting letting Bo Nix drop to number 12?
I think the Raiders regret not making a more aggressive push to get in front of the Broncos, having to suffer through Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell, but it worked out the way it worked out. I do think that Bo Nix is a good litmus test for those who know ball and those who don't know ball. Because I'm not saying this because I cover the Broncos. If I actually watch the highlights, watch the tape of Bo Nix, you see a quarterback getting better every single week. You watch Caleb Williams the last couple weeks, I don't see that progression. I even see some regression. And Chad, that is in an offense where he is surrounded by talent. I mean, six times more than Bo Nix has.
Good point. Good point. We're sitting here coming up anyway on the 30-minute mark of tonight's live stream. Good to see a lot of our Facebookers finding their way over from YouTube. Sorry for those problems. I don't know the connectivity issues. I think it's, again, it's the platform or Facebook. It's nothing we're doing. So unfortunately we tried to fix it, but it ain't happening tonight. But Zach, let's do our head to head, shall we? Let's compare where the Broncos and Chiefs are together entering this pivotal matchup. It's obviously a little bit more important for the Denver Broncos, considering the Chiefs are undefeated. They have had a bye. Broncos are yet to have their bye. I think it's week 14 is when the Broncos are going to get their break. But as you can see here, this is the Broncos-Chiefs team comparison. A green means it's a top 10 statistical mark. Red signifies a bottom 10. And 5-4 versus 8-0. So first things first, Zach, the turnover margin. The Chiefs are actually worse than the Broncos as it stands. The Broncos are now under their minus one in the turnover differential, which isn't terrible, but it's obviously not where you want to be. That ties them for 16th. It's middle of the pack. Meanwhile, the Kansas City Chiefs are actually, Zach, bottom 10 in this margin, minus four, tied for 24th. So that's something. The other aspect here, Broncos are middle of the pack in time of possession, but surprise, surprise, with a great defense, this Kansas City Chiefs team, Zach, before we get into the offense, is sitting there at number two in time of possession.
Yeah, and they do that because they control the football with their ground game. And as you can see, their 14th might not be impressive from Kansas City in terms of rushing, but you have to figure they lost their star running back, Isaiah Pacheco, and they've been scraping by with something named Carson Steele and the ghost of Kareem Hunt and Samaje Perine, and yet they're still 14th and top 10 in a lot of other metrics. That is what we've been trying to say the last couple of weeks. They are not this explosive 60, 70-yard touchdown Chiefs offense from years ago. They will nickel and dime you, death by a thousand paper cuts, as you can see there.
Speaking of what we're seeing here, let's go ahead and examine this. You've got, we'll start with the Chiefs, all right? Some green, it used to be Zach Evergreen, right? When you look at the Chiefs, everything's green, but the mark of a elite quarterback and one of the best coaches and play callers of all time, it's still detectable even in a down year offensively, at least so far, but they are 10th in net yards. So they're top 10 yardage offense, points per game, they're 10th. They're averaging 25.4. As Zach mentioned, rushing, they're 14th. Passing, they're 10th. Okay, now, we talk a lot so far, Zach, people, fans have heard about how this is a Chiefs passing offense that has failed to launch. I could tell you that there's, 22 other teams that would die to be the 10th best passing offense. So they're still finding a way to get it done, even if it's, there's multiple ways, I guess, to skin that cat, and they're getting that cat skin for sure. So 10th there, but look, 9 picks. All right. That's a bottom 10 ranking. They've only lost 3 fumbles though. So that ties them for the 4th fewest. 12 total giveaways puts them on the low end of middle of the pack. Mahomes has been sacked 16 times, which is tied for the 6th fewest. They are the best offense on third down, thanks to the creativity and the mind meld. First of all, the creativity of Andy Reid and the mind meld he has with Mahomes, and they're just outside the top 10 in red zone. Now, meanwhile, Broncos are still kind of chilling in the basement relative to the key offensive efficiency metrics, 25th in yards, 23rd in points, 15th best rushing offense, 27th though. I mean, this low volume passing offense, they just got to get that figured out if they're going to continue to thrive in this third and fourth frame of the season. 6 picks, that's middle of the pack fewest, so to speak. Fumbles lost, Zach, they have 7, which puts them at 30th. So the third most fumbles lost in the NFL. 13 total giveaways puts them in the bottom 10. But Bo Nix has still been very stubborn about going down and getting sacked. That mobility and his pre-snap and just kind of pocket feel has been good. But this is brutal right here, Zach. Then I'm turning it over to you. Even though they made some strides the last couple of games on third down, they're 27th, which is bottom 10 on third down, and 21st in the red zone.
Pretty impressive from Bo Nix, because everyone lauds Patrick Mahomes' pocket presence and ability to get away from trouble, yet Bo Nix has taken less sacks than Patrick Mahomes. But to me, this is correlation and causation here. We talked about the time of possession, how good the Chiefs are. Well, when you convert more than 50% of your third downs and you're keeping the chains going and keeping your offense on the field, you're able to run the ball, you're able to pass the ball, then you're going to be in good shape offensively. That's why that you can succeed with a washed DeAndre Hopkins. You can succeed with a washed Juju Smith-Schuster. As long as you have Mahomes and Travis Kelce, they are inevitable, Chad.
Indeed. Let's take a look at these defenses. Okay. Things start looking up here for the Broncos. They're 31-point loss to the Ravens, notwithstanding. This is still the 6th best defense in yards per game, 3rd best in points, which is saying something, Zach, because they just allowed 41, and they're still top 3 in points allowed. Rushing, top 10 still, ranked 9th. Passing, they're the 6th best passing defense. And then fumble recoveries, the Broncos have 5, which puts them in the top 10. 7 picks puts them just outside the top 10. And then sacks, they have 31. So I think, Zach, this is maybe the 5th straight week the Broncos have gone into a game as the 2nd best defense relative to sacks. Third down, they're 16th. Okay, so they got to bump that number up. And their red zone has plummeted a little bit because of how efficient the Ravens were last week, but they're still top 10. Meanwhile, the Chiefs, 5th best yards per game defense, 4th best points per game. third best rushing defense, but here's where you have an opportunity, Zach. Mm-hmm. Right here against the pass, they're middle of the pack. Now, you don't want to tempt fate too much, but when you look at ways to attack this Chiefs defense, I mean, it's pretty evident.
Yeah, this is what I was mentioning a few minutes ago. They're not the same vaunted Chiefs defense that won the Super Bowl a year ago. They're still really good, but you look at sacks there for Kansas City, only 17, 26th in the NFL. The Broncos are second. They're not getting that production up front. You look at passing yards per game, they're 15th, middle of the pack. They were in on the Marshawn Lattimore sweepstakes, the cornerback. Thank God he didn't go to Kansas City because they are struggling in that back end, Chad. You're right. This is the game where Bo Nix ideally has to step up and have that big breakout performance.
I mean, again, it's a defense doing a lot of good things. You don't want to pick too many nits here, but the pass, and then they're just not doing a good job of taking the ball away. This is why when you look at total takeaways at 8, and then you come up here, giveaways 12, that's why they're minus 4, okay? So there are weaknesses. The thing about the Chiefs, and sacks, by the way, they only have 17. So there's only a few teams worse than the Chiefs at rushing the passer, or at least getting that passer sacked. Third down, 15th, red zone, 13th defense. I lost my train of thought on what I was going to say, but this Chiefs defense, it's not – oh, I know what I was going to say. You know, the big difference here, it's like if you watch that game on Monday night against Baker Mayfield and the Bucks. You know, the Bucks took it to overtime, all that stuff. But this is such an experienced team in the clutch, right? This every member on this squad has the clutch gene because they've been through so many fires together. They've been to war together in big games, critical situations. So when the chips go down, whether it's third down, whether it's red zone, whether it's end of game sequences and opponents, that's when they start getting a little tight. You know, they start getting a little in their own heads. Man, that's when they are the calmest. You know, goose fra ba all the way for the Chiefs. They find a way to get it done in the clutch. And they just those clutch executing kind of things are a hallmark of a team that's on the verge, Zach, of becoming the first three-peat Super Bowl champion.
Ugh, hopefully not. But you mentioned
knock on wood.
You mentioned the key to victory in what you said there. And I wish I had a telestrator so I can circle it, but it's third down. We talked about how good the KC offense is on third down. You see how mediocre the Broncos are on third down. You got to get off the field against Patrick Mahomes. They are first in the NFL, the Broncos. The Chiefs are the Chiefs' offenses, and on defense, they're middle of the pack. So if you allow them to chew the clock, if you allow them to convert third downs, you are not going to win this ballgame.
Okay, we take a look at special teams. The Broncos, obviously, in the last, well, since Sean Payton came here, are much improved relative to special teams, but the Chiefs, that's one of their hallmarks as well, one of their calling cards. Longtime Dave Tobe, the coordinator there, and just the acolytes of his presence as a special teams coordinator shows here. Great punting, great punt coverage, and they have a good punt return average. The Broncos' punting, Zach, has diminished in the last three games. It's affected the rankings. I mean, Riley Dixon was actually up there in both of these. Gross and net punting, he's now middle of the pack. I mean, just outside the top 10 in net, but that's more a reflection, Zach, keeping him so close to the top 10. It's actually more a reflection of the punt coverage than it is, in my opinion, this particular punter. Broncos are ranked 10th in punt return average against them, so they're doing a good job, as I said, to limit return yardage. 8th in kickoff return against, so this is they're doing good, but they're not getting that explosive returns in the punt and kickoff game, Zach, that we saw for most of his rookie season last year, Marvin Mims. Field goal, still, you've got Will Lutz, Zach, who's only missed once so far this season, ranked 5th. And, of course, you can see here from the Chiefs special teams. But then there's these penalties we can get into if you want. But first things first, your observations on specials.
Shout out Will Lutz. Of all of Sean Payton's guys, I think Will Lutz might be the best, which is kind of saying something there. But, you know, when we do these head-to-heads every year with Kansas City and every year their special teams is all green, I'm reminded that the Broncos interviewed Dave Tobe, the coordinator, in 2017, yep. One of three options. They went with VJ. I still wonder to this day, if they went with Tobe, would it have changed the course of franchise history? Neither here nor there.
Well, he should have been the second He should have been the first runner up. It should have been Kyle Shanahan. Vijay should have been the last guy at the party, but he ended up being first. It was reversed. It was Vijay one, Tobe two, probably from what I recall anyway in the reporting. And Shanahan, a non-starter, thanks to a former CEO and team president, Joe Ellis. Okay, penalties. Broncos are still, they love throwing the flag on the Broncos, and they love just throwing flags, Zach, at Bronco games, right? So, I mean, well over 100 there in total penalties at Bronco games. We're into the 120s there. 130? And you have, for the Chiefs, very disciplined, or at least an officiating institution, Zach, that doesn't like throwing flags on the back-to-back world champs, and they're not too good at getting their opponents to lapse, so to speak.
Man, it gets my dander up because it seems like every single Kansas City game, the referees are in their pocket, throwing a flag to help them out or not throwing a flag to help them out. And then on the other side, it just seems like the Broncos are continuously getting called for ticky-tack kind of infractions. But we can't blame the referees, Chad. The Broncos have to show up and play their A game and let everything else take care of itself.
Just real quick before I, pardon me, X out of this weekly release, I just want to do some comparisons over here. Bolton leads the team in tackles with 56. Right now, Zach, it's Brandon Jones leading the Broncos in tackles, which is really cool. Moss is number two. Cody Barton is third, which is a bit of a surprise because he's basically been a starter since the season began. And yet it's two defensive backs leading the team in tackles. That tells you a little something. As I mentioned, there's your leader in sacks for the Chiefs, followed by Chris Jones, who just, if you know the joke, you know the joke, cannot be contained. Nick Benito, still, Zach, leading the way. His streak came to an end last week. Slightly controversial. People thought he got a sack, but it was actually a quarterback, busted quarterback read option handoff, and he just got tackled in the backfield. But he's still six sacks, leads the team. Cooper with 5.5. So both these cats right here, Zach, Benito and Cooper, still on pace. If they get back into a rhythm, they're still on pace for double digits this season. And even Allen, if he can, he's kind of fallen off a little bit. I mean, he got double teamed all day last week against the Ravens. But if he can kind of get back into a groove, he has a shot at least approaching double digits as an interior pass rusher, which is great. And look at this. Surtain, three interceptions, leads the team. Four players with one. Meanwhile, the Chiefs have five players tied for number one with one interception. Yardage, Kelce leads the Chiefs with 435. Sutton on the heels, Zach, of two back-to-back, I should say, 100-yard games. He's finally starting to pump this number up a little bit, which is good to see. Kareem Hunt leads the team, 414 yards rushing. Williams, 387. And then there's your passing yardage differential, Zach, between Mahomes and Knicks, which is not as great as you might have expected before you saw this.
It's so pathetic that Bo Nix is on Javonte's heels as the Broncos' leading rusher. They got to figure that out. We also talked about breakouts earlier. We mentioned Zach Allen, but the guy listed next to him there, JFM, has been just almost transcendent along that defensive line, changed the entire complexion of the defense. I could not be happier with Franklin Myers this season.
Okay, there is your head-to-head for Week 10. And it's been a really good conversation. Guys, consider this your two-minute warning, last call for any burning questions, topics, super chats. Get them in the chat, and we will get to them. Rodney says, hey, got to watch out for Nick Bolton. He tries to strip the ball out. So that's a guy that, if you're Audric Estime, Zach, you got to have him. You got to be careful when that cat comes rolling up on you.
Or Javonte, for that matter.
Yes.
Or Cortland Sutton.
I think it. Honestly, Scott, your last comment in the private chat, dude, I think there's something going on with StreamYard today. So anyway, but guys, great conversation. We got a few messages for you that we're going to dip on out of here.
Tremendous installment, as always, of the Mile High Huddle podcast. If you're not doing so, please follow us on Twitter at the MHH Pod. You can follow the main account at Mile High Huddle. Chad at Chad N. Jensen, myself at Kelberman NFL, and Scott, our producer, at Scout Kennedy. If you guys want some merch like we're rocking each and every single podcast, check out mhhmerch.com and get you some. If you haven't done so yet, drop us a like at facebook.com @mile_high_huddle_pod. You can find us on Instagram @mile_high_huddle. If you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, make sure you're leaving your Football Priest a 5-star review for a chance to win some merch each and every single month. But if anything, y'all, please, 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 very important, subscribe, like, and share this video and every video you see on the MHH channel. It really does help us grow and reach more Broncos fans just like you.
A lot of our supporters tonight, unfortunately, probably going, what the heck's going on with these connectivity issues with StreamYard and our destinations? But hey, a special shout out to the Papa Bear, special shout out to Chris Chances. Thank you guys for supporting us with 2 super chats, your own hard earned dollars. I mean, I got to tell you, Zach and I, we talk about this all the time, Scott as well. Every single dollar that you guys donate to MHH in these live chats, whether it's our show or another show, I mean, we take that as a true and sincere honor and a phenomenal blessing and a privilege. And I hope you guys know that when we talk about it helps us keep the lights on, it helps us keep the lights on. So thank you, Chris. Thank you, Papa Bear, and all our Super Chat superstars and supporters. Even if you're not in the room tonight, we love you. So Sunday, we'll see how it shakes out. Look tomorrow for the Mile High Roundtable for our, Zach and I, our official predictions for Broncos Chiefs.
Yeah, I want to echo what Chad said. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in and supporting us tonight. As always, have a great weekend. We'll see you Sunday after the game. Take care, and as always, go Broncos.
Head on over to milehighhuddle.com for all things Broncos.
Today we have 2 very special guests on our program, introducing Lem and Lime.
Hello!
For Starry Lemon Lime Soda.
Thanks for having us.
What is Starry Lemon Lime Soda?
It's a crisp, clear burst of lemon lime flavor, and it's caffeine-free.
Between us, one of you must be a little more important to Starry than the other. Who is it?
We're both important.
So we could just as easily be Starry Lime Lemon Soda.
No, that doesn't sound right.
Ooh, I like it.
So you saying hip-hop could be hop-hip?
Works for me.
Starry Lemon Lime Soda. Starry hits different.